Hello!
Welcome to BSP, Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast, and this is a mini-sode, and we are also proud members of the Podmoth Network. I almost forgot.
Good enough. I actually thought you were going to, and I was going to be like, ooh, I get to do a little Podmoth cameo. Yeah, so welcome. This is a mini-sode, as Chris said. So every other week, we bring to you a full episode with stories, believer-skeptic portion, all kinds of stuff. In the interim week, we bring you a mini-sode, which is one story each, where we play a game where we tease the upcoming topic with our stories to see if you can guess. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I was going to say, on our last one, Sal and Lauren both guessed it. So.
Oh, did they really? Weren't we going to give something?
I didn't think we said that last time, but we could.
I thought there was, oh God, now I have to go listen. I thought we had a bet or something that was going on about whether people would guess it.
I have no idea. I don't remember that part.
Oh, okay. Then maybe not, because we're lazy. We don't want to give stuff away anyway. So how do you think this one's going to be?
Pretty obvious, I think.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, mine is just, like I said, an experience.
Okay.
And the story. I mean, it's hard to not make this one obvious. So.
That is true. And mine could actually be one of, I ended up switching stuff around, and this story could end up being one of four different things, I think. But I think tied with yours, it's probably going to be pretty obvious.
Yeah, and mine mentions it, but it could, I guess it technically could be other things too, but.
Well, that'll be interesting to see. And also, just so everybody knows, we are getting into Halloween month.
Yes.
And so this is the first, just like we do every year, we love Halloween. So the month of October is dedicated to Halloween episodes.
And that being said, for the full episode we're recording today, we have a very extremely special guest.
I think we can say, because it's so cool, they're so big. I think we can go ahead and say who they are to let people know.
All right. Well, we have a Box of Oddities that will be on our episode next week. If you have not heard them before, I highly recommend that you listen to them. They are amazing.
Yeah. I mean, y'all, they have like 10 million downloads. They have a quote from Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, it's pretty crazy. So, and also you'll hear that Chris and I are remote. I don't know if you could tell that. I'm still in Texas. I was here for a book event again. So it's like twice in, 2 months, but that's okay. So we'll do the remote thing.
And I might as well make one more announcement here, since we're here. Me and Cody have been asked to actually perform a live show in the spring for a festival locally. I forget what the festival is called, but it's a festival of theater and art, and this is one of the spearheads of that. Really enjoys our show and asked if we'd do a live show. So on May 20th, 2022, at the Kerr Cultural Center in Scottsdale, Arizona, we will be live.
Yep, it's going to be super awesome.
And it's free.
And it's free, yeah. So come down and fly in from wherever you're at. Some of our Malaysian listeners, if you ever wanted to come to Arizona, you should do it in May when it's just starting to get hot. So yeah, so should we get into our stories?
Sure. You want to go first?
Okay. Sure. I think you went first last time, right?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, then I will start mine. Oh, and I actually, you usually give mine a title, and the title of this one is... And that's all I wrote. U-H-H-H-H. So I don't know. So whenever I get into this, it's a story from Reddit that I found. And the opening sentence is so great. Like, it's one of those that if you're, as an author, if you read this one sentence as your hook.
As opposed to the rest of the story?
Oh, and I actually talk about that after the first sentence. So the first sentence of the story is, "My family used a Ouija board to contact my dead brother while I was at work."
Nope.
So that's like all the things that are like, okay, well, that's a really captivating. Now, the rest of the story is crap. It's really not. It's a good story. But I did end up having to do a lot of editing. And I know like it jumps into first, like present tense and past tense. And I didn't fix that because, I was lazy. But let me go ahead and continue the story. So He said that when I found out, I flipped out. I'm Christian, but I've dealt with things. Ouija boards are bad, 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 bad. My pagan friends won't even fuck with them. So I got home, demand we get rid of it, and they finally agreed. I contacted my friend who is a priest. He told me how to dispose of it properly. I took his advice and gathered the family together to say the Lord's Prayer. When we got to deliver us from evil, things went fucking crazy and we weren't able to even finish the prayer. Apparently, they summoned something besides my brother. We were standing in a circle while we recited the prayer when all my family members were suddenly pushed by something unseen. My dad was shoved so hard he crashed to the ground. The rest of my family was brought to their knees. For some reason, I was the only one who remained standing. My feet felt like they were in concrete. Suddenly, my dad began to convulse while he was on the ground. I'll never forget the screams from the family at seeing him. Terrified, I looked to the heavens and said, "Jesus, grab hold my tongue." And suddenly, something took control of my entire body. I began speaking in tongues, saying things I didn't understand or remember at all. As I spoke, the being went crazy. It started dragging my dad toward the front door. We watched him being pulled across the floor by nothing. My stepmom screamed and looked at me. She said my eyes looked like fire, and I was beyond enraged. I kept yelling at this demon. Finally, it let go of my dad, and I came back to my senses. I'll never know if it was some internal instinct that happened to me, or if Christ truly did utilize my body as a means to an end. I don't know. All I know is, according to everyone, I was not myself. I wasn't evil. I was in verbal war with this demon. We ended up staying at a hotel after that, right? Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Like, that is a thing. We ended up staying at a hotel after that, but I contacted the priest asking if I should get someone to exorcise the house. He said, "Yes, you can, being a Christian. It is your duty. You don't need a priest." And I'm like, how lazy is this priest for totally just deflecting and being like, "Yes, you had a demon drag your dad all over the ground, but you know what? Yeah, you got this." And the writer actually said, "I cried myself to sleep that night, clutching my prayer rope, knowing I had to face this thing again. The next day we went back. I said the prayers I had to with everyone repeating after me. Luckily, nothing major happened." Then it said, "I left home for a couple days to visit friends, and they said I looked different. I was glowing and my face was still on fire. Hopefully not literally. I went back and through the guidance of the priest, poured water, blessed it, and went to the four corners of the house, blessed them, went to all the rooms and closets, blessed them." And then he said that items that actually went missing around the house began to appear after I blessed the area. And it makes me wonder,
did he even know they were missing before?
Oh, that's a really good point. Like, if he just sees something that he didn't know was there and is like, "Oh, it must have been the demon." Like, the demon needed this pressure cooker.
Okay.
He needed what is that thing you use you're so addicted to? Yeah, your Instapot. He needed that Instapot. To this day, the author said, it haunts us. Random things sometimes happen, which I've learned to not care about anymore. It's no longer malevolent. It just hopes to scare me. And I thought that was actually weird. Like, this thing isn't mean, but it just wants to scare the piss out of me. You know, like, it's just going to hide behind a door and be like, "Boo, gotcha."
A trickster ghost.
That's true. That is true. But I guess I feel like if anything is trying to scare or trick you, I still feel like maybe it's evil, but maybe it's not to the level of, you know, dragging your dad all over the floor evil.
Yeah.
I don't know. And finally, he says, "It took a lot for me to write this all down. I don't tell many people, but I decided I should share my story. My third eye was torn open, with no want of my own. No one should deal with what me and my family have had to deal with."
That's crazy.
Yeah, Chris has had his third eye torn open, but
gross.
It was very different. So that's the story of demon, priest, Ouija, water, house thing.
Yeah. And now my story, you will get the connection with mine because it's pretty obvious the connection between the two, but that's okay.
It's okay.
This story comes from Leslie Morgan, an Indiana radio personality. She writes, "A chilling tale that happened to me almost 50 years ago. When I was 8 years old, my 10-year-old cousin got a Ouija board for Christmas. At the time, I thought the game looked boring. The colors on the box and on the game were blah, and nothing about it made me want to play it. But in one of my childhood memories, the Ouija board was anything but boring. It scared me to death. Suddenly, she told me that a ghost was in the room and we should ask it some questions. After looking around the room, I saw nothing. I then remembered we were pretending. She asked a question and the ghost would answer yes or no. You know how the game works. I soon got the feeling that she might be moving the centerpiece herself, so I decided to ask the ghost something. I proceeded to ask the ghost to move something in the room to prove they were actually there with us. I would prove there was no ghost in the room. I would prove she was moving the centerpiece. The first time we got the board out of the box, my cousin was all in and even dressed up as a fortune teller. I, being the younger, more naive cousin, played the unknowing, innocent customer wanting to get her fortune and read through the Ouija board. Once we got tired of playing that scenario, my cousin wanted to play seance. At 8 years old, I had no idea what the word seance meant. She told me we were going to try and talk to ghosts. I didn't feel like this was a good idea, but I said, okay.
Okay.
My cousin was very good at pretend and was so convincing playing the part of the medium. She even spoke in an accent and asked if any ghosts wanted to talk. I started to feel very scared and wanted to stop playing this silly game. It seemed like we had gone too far, but the worst was yet to come. What happened next? Well, a picture fell off the wall, and we both felt a burst of cold air. As we sat frozen and afraid to move, the Ouija board centerpiece started slowly turning by itself.
Oh!
Of the board. She wasn't touching it, and neither was I. We ran out of the living room screaming. I think I might have even peed myself a little.
Just like I'm doing right now.
My cousin blamed me for not asking the ghost a yes or no question. My aunt met us in the hallway to find out what was wrong, and we explained to her what had happened. We slept on the floor in my aunt's room that night, and we never saw the Ouija board again. When I passed the living room on the way to the kitchen that morning, the board and centerpiece were gone. I was afraid to ask my aunt what happened to it because I was afraid of what the answer might be. But my cousin was more curious than afraid, so she asked. My aunt turned white and rushed to the living room and found the board was gone. She had no idea where the board had gone and told us never to speak of the board again. Even now, when I see a Ouija board, it gives me chills. Over the many years, the explained happenings of that night have haunted my thoughts. I have no idea what really happened that night, but it really scared me. As an adult and someone extremely intrigued by the paranormal, I wish we had asked the ghost more questions, but I feel like the ghost, if it was a ghost, was trying to protect us from the board and its darkness. You never know what you might bring to life through a game like that. It's probably best we left it alone. Everything that happened the night has a possible explanation. The picture falling off the wall could have been perfect timing. The chill could have happened because it was cold winter night. But the one thing I can't explain is the fact that the game disappeared. Unless my aunt just wanted to give us another good scare, the disappearance of the game is the real mystery.
Dun, dun, dun. Wow, you need Nancy Drew for that one. I want to see Nancy Drew in the case of the missing board. So I'm trying to think about what your connection to our topic is.
Yeah, I wonder.
Very subtle. No one's ever going
to
guess.
Again, it was very hard to be able to throw out the name or the clues, you know? Like, it was, yeah, this one was not easy to hide.
Yeah, yeah. I really thought of just trying to go way out and find something so almost unrelated, but it's like, you know what? It's more fun when people, well, and this one might be too easy, but that's okay. We can go back and forth. It's totally fine.
Well, that being said, thank you guys for listening. Be sure, for sure, to listen to our episode next week because you will want to hear Box of Oddities on with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we're going to be on with him in like, 40 minutes to record the episode. That'll be great. Yep. So tune in, everyone. Then we'll see you next week. And
bye. Bye.